from 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Monday, December 15th, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. Backlash is growing against Charlotte's Sycamore Brewery after its co-founder was arrested and charged over the weekend with breaking into a Stanley County home and raping a 13-year-old girl. A judge has ordered 44-year-old Justin Brigham to remain in jail on a $10 million bond. The brewery says he's divesting from the company while his wife takes over. Meanwhile, three major grocery chains say they're pulling Sycamore products from their shelves. That includes Food Lion, Lowe's Food, and Publix. Several Charlotte bars and restaurants say they're also cutting ties. A church in Charlotte's Optimist Park neighborhood is getting mixed reactions for a nativity scene showing ICE agents looming behind the Holy Family. Julian Berger spoke with the church's pastor and has more.
Mission Gathering Charlotte installed the nativity scene this week outside its church on North Caldwell Street. It depicts Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus as targets of immigration enforcement, surrounded by masked agents with handcuffs and bulletproof vests. Pastor Andrew Shipley says the goal is to create reflection and discomfort. He hopes the scene prompts people to ask why the image makes them angry and whether they would want immigration enforcement affecting their own families. The installation has support and opposition.
Disgusting.
On Thursday, a man came and pushed the agent figurines to the ground.
He left the nativity scene intact, so he almost like showed what we want, right? Which is for these raids to stop, for people to be able to feel secure, and for like us to be able to have the type of Christmas we all want.
Shipley says the church put the display back up minutes later. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
A federal court has ordered FEMA to reinstate about $200 million in climate resiliency grants to communities in North Carolina. Earlier this year, FEMA abruptly canceled the grants, leaving the fate of dozens of projects uncertain. Blue Ridge Public Radio's Laura Hackett has details on what the dispute was about.
North Carolina is one of 20 states that filed a lawsuit against FEMA after the agency canceled funding and attempted to dismantle the entire Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities program last April. The program, also known as BRIC, funds infrastructure projects for communities vulnerable to natural disasters like flooding. Specifically, it can strengthen roads, wastewater plants, and riverbanks against the growing threats of climate change. In a judgment last week, the court sided with the states, ruling that the termination of the BRIC program and the cancellation of grants was unlawful. North Carolina is still waiting to hear back on another lawsuit with FEMA. The state has alleged that FEMA is withholding around $17 million in emergency preparedness grants. I'm Laura Hackett, North Carolina Public Radio.
It's been 50 years since the creation of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and the anniversary comes at a time when parents and activists are concerned about funding cuts for services. A rally held Friday at Representative Tim Moore's office called for continued support. James Farrell has more.
A dozen protesters held a birthday celebration with cupcakes, coffee, and demonstrations outside Moore's Cornelius office to commemorate IDEA's 50th birthday. The office was empty, but they taped a pledge they hope he'll sign to the door. The pledge calls on Moore to advocate for fully funding the act, keeping it housed at the Department of Education, and resisting cuts to services for students with disabilities. Roxana Deshong-Myrie is a parent to two students with disabilities. She said IDEA is crucial to her children's education, and she's concerned about its future.
And this is very emotional for me, you know, because my husband and I, we're not rich. You know, a lot of these programs for autistic children cost a lot of money, you know, and at least we could have the services that are in the school.
The act guaranteed children with disabilities access to free special education. While the Trump administration has promised to maintain funding for special education, it's also worked to dismantle the Department of Education, which administers that funding and ensures compliance with the law. Moore didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. James Farrell, WFAE News.
A Charlotte group that's been helping people overcome addiction for over 70 years is now undergoing a revamp. As Elvis Meneyese reports, the revamp is to the 12th Step Services site that supports people impacted by substance use.
Volunteers unwrapped and pulled new flooring from a truck outside the group's building near South End. dozens of weekly sessions are hosted there that support people trying to overcome issues like cocaine and alcohol addiction. Stuart Watson is a representative with the group who says a support system is key.
My biological father died of acute alcoholism alone in a Holiday Inn with 3/5 of Smirnoff vodka. I haven't had a drink in more than 30 years. I'm a dad to my kids. He was never a dad to his kids. Alcohol took that away. It can be the difference between decades and decades of being in family or being dead in the ground.
12-step services hope to raise about $75,000. The funds are to help outfit the building on 709 East Boulevard with new items like windows and help cover expenses to maintain the site. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
Governor Josh Stein's Advisory Council for Student Safety and Well-Being is highlighting the positive impacts of cell phone-free classrooms. WFDD's Amy Diaz reports.
Back in July, the state passed House Bill 959, requiring all North Carolina public school districts to restrict the use of phones during instructional time. The deadline was January of 2026, but according to the Advisory Council's report, the majority of school systems have already updated their policies, and they're seeing positive results. Increased social interactions, better academic outcomes, and fewer disciplinary concerns. Annie Goldberg, a counselor in Alamance County, talked about the impact of the policy changes in her district in the council's video report.
We have seen a decrease in the amount of peer-to-peer conflict and drama that goes on throughout the school day because students don't have access to their phones. They can focus on their schoolwork and focus on having positive peer interactions throughout the day.
A press release from the governor's office says North Carolina is one of 32 states to restrict the use of cell phones in school. In Winston-Salem, I'm Amy Diaz.
Researchers at Clemson University say an invasive yellow-legged hornet nest has been found in York County. The discovery came from a local beekeeper who spotted the hornets attacking honeybees last Monday. University researchers plan to remove the nest and urge residents to report suspicious hornet activity. The species is a major threat to honeybees. The Carolina Panthers lost a heartbreaker Sunday night, falling 20-17 to the New Orleans Saints in a penalty-riddled game. The Panthers blew a 10-point lead and ended up on the wrong end of a last-second field goal that gave the Saints the win. After the game, head coach Dave Canales said the Panthers are focused on their last three games and the small chance they still have to make the postseason.
There's a lot of guys who are really disappointed because of the missed opportunity that we had. And at the same time, there's a lot of great leaders in that locker room that understand we got a lot of football in front of us.
With cold temperatures and blustery winds moving in Sunday afternoon, a power outage at Knight Theater forced the cancellation of the Charlotte Symphony's Holiday Pops concert. Not to be discouraged, conductor Christopher James Lee surprised the audience with an impromptu sing-along in the lobby, a true "the show must go on" moment. Mecklenburg State House member Carla Cunningham has walked back some of her controversial comments about immigration she made this summer, 3 months ahead of what's expected to be a tough primary election. Steve Harrison has this report.
This summer, Cunningham, a Democrat, voted with Republicans to override Democratic Governor Josh Stein's veto of a bill that requires sheriffs to work more closely with federal immigration agents. In explaining her vote in a speech on the House floor, Cunningham said that all cultures are not equal and that immigrants must assimilate. Those words prompted an intense backlash among Democrats. A few weeks later, about 100 people came to a town hall she held. The six-term legislator was defiant.
Looking back, would you change anything about the way that you voted or the way you delivered your message?
No, I wouldn't change a thing about it. I am being authentic. I am speaking my truth. And I am also elected to lead. Nothing I'm going to do is going to be perfect. I am human too.
Aren't immigrants humans? Do they deserve to be?
So I answered the question.
Since then, three people have said they will challenge her in the May 3rd primary. One, community activist Rodney Sadler, said he's raised $80,000, enough money to mount a serious campaign. In an interview last week with WFAE, Cunningham said her emotions were heightened during the floor speech after receiving threats from Democratic leadership.
I think not regrets, but I do have the state of, I made some statements that made people uncomfortable with the situation in regards to illegal immigrants.
When asked about her saying that all cultures are not equal,
I would probably change the word and say they're not the same, not that they're not equal. The equal was not related to the value. It was just a chosen word at the time. No culture is less valued than another culture.
She would still vote to override the veto today. But
I want to make it clear, I am not a bigot and I am not anti-immigrant and I never have been. And I understand as an African-American woman what it's like to be discriminated against because I have been.
Attorney Morris McAdoo, as well as Vermano Bowman, have said they will also challenge Cunningham. Sadler, a Baptist minister, said he asked Cunningham not to support the override.
Over and over again, God says that you are to love the alien as you love yourself, love the stranger as you love yourself, love those who are from without who are vulnerable as you love yourself.
He said her speech,
it sounded like the supremacists who stood against our ancestors and said that we were three-fifths of a person, that we were not equal.
Sadler likened last month's immigration raids in Charlotte by Border Patrol agents to stealing our neighbors. Cunningham said she was concerned by some of the tactics the federal government used, but she did not condemn the operation. Cunningham has been a key swing vote joining Republicans in controversial veto overrides. Sadler said his campaign will emphasize loyalty.
One of the things I'm trying to do is ensure that when Josh Stein vetoes a bill that seems particularly egregious, that we're able to sustain that veto, that we're able to make sure that the things that will be most harmful to the people of North Carolina are prevented from happening.
Stein has already made one endorsement ahead of the primary, backing first-term Democratic legislator Rodney Pierce of Halifax County. His challenger, former legislator Michael Ray, had voted with Republicans to override some of Roy Cooper's vetoes. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
And for Monday, December 15th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Teal.